Okay, good evening, everyone. This is the third, I would say final. So officially, this is the third and final shiur of our summer learning, Developing an Ethical Personality of Insights from Rav Lichtenstein on Pirkei Avos. But there's a community-wide initiative on Ahavas Yisrael. You may have seen a flyer. So I thought I would use this time, next week, same time, same channel, at 8 o'clock to actually address one aspect of Ahavas Yisrael. It's the concept of Mamon, that other people's property should be Chaviv Alecha Kishelach, which is the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. So you can join or not join. Either way, it'll be one week extension so that we can participate in this very important initiative on Ahavas Yisrael, and it will be focused on also comments, insights of Lichtenstein on Pirkei Avos on that particular topic. We're moving a little bit later into the Masechta. Okay. So last week, we spent a lot of time on defining a derech that each person has to find within his or her life. A derech is not merely sufficient to choose to perform mitzvos and avoid averos. That is not going to help us reach the spiritual goals and aspirations that we should have. We have to find a derech. A derech is, we need a derech in everything we do. We mention professionally and otherwise. But certainly as we grow spiritually, we have to find a derech. And that derech has to be a derech yeshara. We spend time discussing what it means to find a derech yeshara, what it means to be a yashar. The Ramban, the last thing we mentioned with the Ramban, on the Pasuk V'ashisa ha-yashar v'hatov, where the Torah is not going to delineate every aspect of our lives and how we're supposed to guide ourselves and direct ourselves in our lives. We have to make that judgment call very often. And that's the concept of Yashrus that we should be familiar with as well. Tonight, I'd like to do three things. I'm going to be a little bit ambitious. I'd like to, number one, cover the comment of the Mishnah. This is the first Mishnah in Perek Bet, which is what we're working on, where the Mishnah makes the comment that we're supposed to be cautious with a mitzvah kala versus a mitzvah chamura, a light mitzvah, literally, and a more stringent mitzvah. That's one aspect I'd like to discuss. Number two, where the Mishnah says that we're supposed to look at three things to avoid sin. And the Mishnah has three things. If we're focused on those three things, we can avoid sin. And finally, something in Mishnah Bet, which is a very broad topic and a very significant topic and a very sensitive topic, is the topic of Talmud Torah with Derech Eretz. So hopefully we'll cover all of these topics tonight with the short time that we have. So let's begin with the first source number one. We've already spent time on Rebbe Omer, Ezohi Derech Yishara Sheyavor Lo HaAdam. What's this derech yishara that a person should choose for him or herself in life? Kol shehi, this is the litmus test. Kol shehi tiferes le'oseha, if it's tiferet, if it's something of glory, something of pride to the one who's doing it, that may refer to me, the person who's doing the mitzvah. It may refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's Oseha, he may be the one who actually has not only created man and created the world, but he's the one who created the mitzvah. And Tiferes lo min ha'adam. And it should be something that's Tiferes, that's glorified for others. I mentioned the beginning of last week, U'matzachein v'seichel tov be'ein Elohim v'yadam. It's not sufficient to do what's right in the eyes of the Ribbono Shel Olam. We have to do what's right in the eyes of man. We are ambassadors for Torah lifestyle and living Torah values, and it's critical both for Jew and non-Jew alike that they should be able to see a Jew, v'ro kol amei ha'aretz, all the people of the world should see kishem Hashem nikra lecha, that God's name is upon you, v'yaru mimecha, and have the proper yirat shamayim by looking at a person. And then the Mishnah says as follows. Topic number one for tonight. Vehave zahir b'mitzvah kala kivachamura. A person should be cautious when approaching a mitzvah kala, a light mitzvah, kivachamura, as cautious as he would be when approaching a chamura, a more stringent mitzvah. And then the Mishnah tells you why that is. She'ena toyodea matan scharan shel mitzvos. Because you don't really know what the reward is for a mitzvah. So because of that, we should be careful and cautious when approaching any mitzvah. So this is fraught with difficulty. I want us to understand the difficulties here. First of all, for the Mishnah to say that we should be as cautious with a mitzvah kala kibachamura, that itself is difficult. We know that mitzvos are divided into kalos and chamuros. That is true. That is a given. The Gemara in Yuma discusses this. The Rambam discusses this as well. Take a look at source number 4 for a moment. This is the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva, right at the very beginning. The Rambam tells us, So'ir hamishtaleach, we know the goat that sent off the cliff, lefi shehu kapar al kol Yisrael, because that's going to achieve atonement for all of the Jewish people. Kohen gadol misvadeh alav aloshon kol Yisrael. Right, that's the last time we bow. That's where all the avanot based Yisrael, not just for the Kohen and not just for his family and his brethren, the Kohanim, but all of Am Yisrael. He's going to confess on the head of that animal and it's thrown la'azazel. V'hisvadeh alav, this is the Shanama, this is the Pasuk. V'hisvadeh alav es kol avonos b'nei Yisrael, all of the sins of the Jewish people. So'ir hamishtaleach mechaper al kol averos shebatorah, hakalos v'hakamuros. It's going to atone for those mitzvos or averos kalos that are light, that are not as strict, and chamurs the ones that are. Bein she'avar b'zadon, whether we have violated them on purpose, bein she'avar b'shkaga or inadvertently, bein she'hodalo, bein she'lo hadolo, whether we become informed of our violation or not, akol miskaper b'serem shtaleach. It's remarkable, the one animal and it takes care of everything. V'usha asachuva, but that's on the condition that we've chosen to repent. Avamlo asachuva ein hasoir mechaper lo el alakalos. Aha. But if we didn't do tshuva, look at that. The Seir will atone, not for the more strict sins, but the ones that are lighter. Mahen akalos, mahen achamuros. What are they? Hachamuros hein shechayavin alehem misas beisdin okare. So there it is. What's a mitzvah or avera chamura? Of course, an avera is a mitzvah. A lo tase is a mitzvah. Negative commandment is a commandment. So chamura, where the punishment, that's how we decide. That's the barometer. What's the punishment? If the punishment is going to be excision, kares, or worse, misas beisdin, so the death penalty by a Jewish court, so that's called a chamura. Examples, let's talk about kares. So kares, we have the strict violations of taras hamishpacha, family purity. Eating chametz on Pesach, eating on Yom, or doing malacha on Yom Kippur. Doing a malacha on Shabbos where you're not warned, but you're doing it on purpose anyway. There's a chiyuv kares there. Misas beisdin. Many of the arayos are misas beisdin. Some of them are kares. So promiscuous activity, certainly included. Misas beisdin, so many. When you chayv skilo, chenek, makes no difference. That's all misas beisdin. Those are severe. What are non-kares? What are just lavin? Let's say eating chazer. That's only a lav. That's what I was going to say. Wearing shatnez. It's only a lav. So look at that. For certain averos, the Sariya Mishtaleach will be mechaper for us on Yom Kippur, even without tshuva at all. If they're more severe than chamuros, so then I understand. So here, and then the Mishnah, the halacha goes on to shvua shav b'sheker, interestingly, where a person takes an oath in vain. The difference between what shav and sheker is not for now. Afal pi she'ein bahen kares, even though there's no kares, these are an exception. These are chamuros. Hare hein min hachamuros usha'or mitzvah los ase and mitzvos ase. If I violate, I eat outside of the sukkah, let's say, for example, if a male eats outside of a sukkah, she'enem kares, hare hein kalos. So I know very well when I read a Mishnah in Perkei Avos and it speaks about kalos and chamuros, I know very well what we're talking about. I know what kalos are, I know what chamuros are. So have a zoyer for a person to be as cautious. Are we going to say, Rabbi Lichtenstein says, you know, that would mean, so are we going, I'm going to be, a person's going to be as cautious and as careful to ensure that they don't get cancer as much as they don't get a cold. So do we view those things as the same? So they're both illnesses, but one is kal and one is chamor, and we treat them very differently. If a person's walking, a person's going to go, is going traveling somewhere. So they're going skydiving, or someone is traveling, in the desert, and we have to be cautious. You're going out in the desert; it's now 120 degrees, and you're going on a hike. So, I'm going on a hike, so I bring a bottle of water, just like I would if I were walking down the street. I'm a heavy zohir, I'm going to be as cautious, one with the other. So we know very well that's not so. That doesn't mean that I don't need a bottle of water if it's hot outside. There's a very big difference between going on a hike in 100 degrees and walking down the street. So for the Mishnah to say heavy zohir, to be as cautious with these versus the others, even think about what we do. Hilchos Shabbos. So, take for example, if a person wakes up in the morning, do I have a reminder sitting in the bathroom or outside, wash netilas yadayim? It's not there. Why is it not there? Could be because it's automatic, I'm going to wash netilas yadayim. Could be. Or maybe it's because, and if I didn't wash netilas yadayim, what happens? Is that so terrible? Okay, so I didn't wash netilas yadayim. But in the bathroom, I may have a magnet that's actually right over the light switch, so I don't turn it on Shabbos. Why did I do that? Why was it? I was more zahir. Because that's a chamura. Because I'm more cautious. Because I make my own gezeros. Because I don't want to turn on the light. That may be a Torah violation. That may be a desecration of Shabbos. So we operate this way medically. We operate this way in Torah itself. And yet the Mishnah is telling me, so that's something to think about. No doubt, each mitzvah, there's certain weight and gravity to all mitzvos. They come from the Ribbono Shel. So that's something, that's number one we have to address. Number two, probably more important for us, and more significant, is what the Mishnah said after that. Why should I be zohir b'mitzvah kala kevachavur? Why is that important? Because I don't know the schar of the mitzvah. That's why I should be more careful. Look at source number three for a moment. You should know this Mishnah, once you start picking up us, at least you get this far. Mishnah Gimel. Antigonos Issacho Kibel Mishimon HaTzadik. He received the tradition from Shimon HaTzadik. Hu haya omer, al tihiyu ka'avadim ha'misham shim nesarab amanas l'kabal pras. Don't be like the servants who serve the master on the condition to receive some type of reward, some type of prize. By the way, you know that could be read differently. It could have said, you should not serve the master necessarily for the purpose of the prize. It doesn't say that. What does it say? You should serve the master not to get a prize. In other words, I'm very aware of the fact that that should not even be my intention at all when I'm doing so. V'hi mora shamayim aleichem. So the Mishnah here says that, of course, a person has to, it's not about the reward, it's not about the schar. I serve the Ribbono Shel'olam because I'm supposed to serve him. And yet here the Mishnah is saying that the reason why you want to be cautious with a mitzvah kala is because you don't know what the schar is going to be anyway. Go ahead.
So I get that you don't want to be doing it for the reward.
Good.
But on the other hand, if you're doing it because it's like a little kid, I better clean up my room because mommy's going to take away ice cream or TV. You're doing it so you don't. It's the same. It's the other hand of it. Either you're doing it for the reward or you're doing it to avoid the punishment.
Okay. So the answer. So that may be one way, one direction that we take, one approach that we take, which is when we speak about schar, we're referring to the punishment. So we're going to get to that, a very important point. Okay? So let's try to address some of these issues. Number one, when we speak about zihirut, so we have to recognize that zihirut, being cautious, is an important word because it's actually part of a process. The Gemara on Daf Chaf in Avodah Zarah tells us in the name of Pinchas ben Yair that there's actually a progression that a person can go through till they get to the point of Ruach HaKodesh, till the point of where we have divine spirit, divine inspiration. How do we get there? So the entire book of Mesilas Yesharim by the Ramchal is based on Rav Pinchas Ben Yair's progression and process and ascent through different levels of spiritual growth. The first level, the first step, is called Zehirus. Before you get to the second step, which is Zrizus, which is alacrity and a strong motivation to engage in a mitzvah, there's first Zehirus, to be cautious of doing something wrong. That's the first level. So that's how we begin. I certainly should be more wary of a mitzvah chamura than a mitzvah kala, no doubt. We certainly have to take that into account. But the simple answer to the question is looking at the bigger picture. When we think about our relationship with Hashem and that He is the source of all of mitzvos, and this is probably the simple way we would have approached this Mishnah. When I see the word Zehirus means that there has to be care. I have to care about it. I have to be concerned about it. So what it means to have the same degree of Zehirus, assuming it is the same degree, the mitzvah kala kevachamura, means that I understand that any time I'm in violation of a Torah precept, whether it be an asay, a positive command, or a los asay, it's an act of defiance against the creator of the world. And for that, I need Zehirus. There has to be a certain level of caution. It's an act and an attitude of defiance where, when we think about, take for example, I decide to eat outside of, see, I'm going to eat a bagel outside of the sukkah. I don't eat bagels anyway, but okay, let's assume for a bagel, that's the beauty of being gluten-free. You never have to eat in the sukkah. So I eat a bagel outside of the sukkah. That's A. B is I do, more chomer, maybe in the eyes of the Rambam, this is also kal, but I eat a piece of tarfus. Okay, that we would consider that a little bit more severe. Then you move on to something even more severe that would be Nisr Karis. Let's say on Shabbos, I'm so hungry and I cook something on Shabbos. I wanted something fresh, I don't want something out of the fridge, and I cook on Shabbos. So that would be chomer, no doubt. So what's happening here? In the end of the day, the source, my attitude is really the same. The source of what I'm doing is that not only I don't care, but it's that I have a desire. Whatever the desire is, you could have, right? Sometimes it's a materialistic desire, it's a sensual desire. In this case, it's gluttonous and mine. I'm hungry. And because I'm hungry, I don't really care what the Ribono Shalom has asked me to do. So the very source of what I'm doing is the same. So therefore the Mishnah can say, Heve Zer B'mitzvah Kala Kevachamura, because in the end of the day, it's really the same. And if it's coming because of whatever pleasure it is that I'm looking for, so there would be no difference between whether I'm going to eat outside of the sukkah or I'm going to cook on Shabbos. Because at the end of the day, I come first. And it's an act of defiance because of my attitude. My attitude is that my aspirations, my desires, that's the priority over HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's really the common denominator of all of these things, whether they're kalos or chamuros. So that's one possible approach. It really is the same force that's driving force behind whether I'm a violation of the asay, of the positive command by eating outside of the sukkah, versus I'm eating tarfus or cooking on Shabbos. So that's one possibility. Number two, Rabbi Lichtenstein suggested that it may have to do with how we define Zehirus in this context. To be Zahir, to be cautious about something, so a person can be cautious on different levels. I'm more cautious about I'm going on a trip and I want to make sure we're going on a hike and I'm going to pack, how many bottles of water do we need? How many canteens do we need? And then I'm going for a walk down the block. So I'm also going to be cautious. It's silly to walk around. It's 100 degrees outside. You really should bring something along. So the Mishnah is not necessarily saying that there has to be the same degree of Zahiris. The Mishnah can be read as follows. Ve'heve zohir b'mitzvah kala kivach amura. That ki doesn't mean that it has to be the same degree of Zahiris. What happens is, we walk in, come into the Mishnah, our initial reaction is, here is a mitzvah kala. I have to worry about mitzvah kala, netilas yadayim before. I have to think about netilas yadayim. I need a reminder for netilas yadayim. What do I need a reminder for? Maybe in my mind, I don't need any zahiris at all. I don't have to be cautious at all. There doesn't have to be any care and concern at all, because it's automatic. I'm not going to run into any problems, but this is an easy one. So what the Mishnah is teaching us is, although you would have had the Hava Amina not to have any zahiris at all for a mitzvah kala, comes the Mishnah to say, no. A mitzvah kala also needs zahiris. Just like a mitzvah chamura, you know you're going to give it zahiris. A mitzvah kala also needs zahiris. That's what it means, ki. Have a zohir b'mitzvah kala kiva chamura, it also requires a certain degree of zahiris, but not necessarily the same level, not to the same degree. So that could be what the Mishnah is telling us, and therefore we know. We don't, the gravity of a mitzvah chamura is in place. There's no doubt we don't necessarily compare the two, but the Mishnah is telling us Zahirus in the eyes of our Pinchas ben Yair is a critical component in spiritual growth with respect to all of the mitzvot of the Torah. Even those mitzvot that are kalos, where you don't think you need to be cautious, it's there we need to have care as well, but maybe not the same level of Zahirus. That may be another way to understand the Mishnah over here. Then we have to move in. What does it mean? She'ein atal yodea matan scharin shel mitzvah. And why am I going to be careful? You don't know what the schar is. I don't know what the schar. I'm supposed to care about the schar. The Mishnah tells me in the first paragraph, I'm not supposed to care about the reward. So if you turn over the page to source number 7. This is a Rambam in the third parak of Hilchos Tshuva. So watch what the Rambam says. Adam she'avano sov meruvin al zechuyo sov, person who has more avonot, more sins than merits, miyad hu meis birisho, he dies immediately. This is, it's also difficult, we have to, for another time maybe, Shneven, he quotes the pasuk, v'chei medina she'avonoseha merubin, miyadi ovedes. Also, if you have a medina, you have a province, you have a state, you have a community, and we see that they have more sins than merits, that also is going to be destroyed. And he quotes the pasuk about Sodom. V'chein kol olam kulo, the same thing with the world. Emayu avonoseha merubin, mizzichu yosen, miyad hen nishchasim, and this is Noach and all of that. So, we can be rest assured that if we're still here, they're as terrible as people may be, as evil as people are, and as certain countries may be, there must be more zechuyos. So look at that, we're doing a good thing. Right? But watch carefully. How do we add this? How do we calculate this? It's not based on number. A zechus, okay, someone walked an old lady across the street, that's another zechus. And then this person punched someone in the face, that's a demerit. That's a chov. That's an avon. No. It's not based on the minyan, it's not quantity. Elofi godlon. It's quality. It's what's the degree, what's the severity, what's the gravity that we speak of. So here, yesh zechus shehi kineged kam avonos. You have one merit that corresponds to many avonot, can outweigh many, many sins, quoting a pasuk. V'yesh avon in the end of the line, shehu kineged kam zechuyos, also quoting a pasuk. V'ein sho klim in the bowl, ela bidato shel kel deot. Who makes this determination? Who balances the scales? The kel deot Hashem. only the one, only God, who's all knowledgeable, who's omniscient. He's the only one who can assess. He's the only one who can evaluate. So we never know. We don't have. It's impossible for us to make that determination, to make that assessment. If that's so, there are so many issues that we have to take into account. That would be like saying you have two people and they come to shul. One person came to shul and they are using a cane. They're coming in a wheelchair. They're coming with two canes. They're coming with crutches. It takes them a half hour to walk to shul. It would take the average person 5 minutes. And someone else comes to shul 5 minutes. They're both sitting together. They both come to shul. So you look at two people, you didn't know how they got to shul. I'm looking from the front, and the other two people, they're both dominating in the shul very nicely. All right. So look at that. They both get a check. They both get a check. Is that really true? They both get a check? What are you talking about? In the eyes of the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's very clear that this person, the schar that this person is going to receive, is much more significant. Or maybe not. Maybe I don't know what happened in the home of the other person who didn't come to shul with the crutches and the wheelchair. How difficult the home environment is. How negative it is. How corrosive it is. And that person pushed them, pulled them out. And the parents don't go to shul. And the siblings don't go to shul. And they pulled themselves out. And they came to shul anyway. And they're sitting by themselves because there's no parent or sibling or whatever sitting next to them. A young person came to shul. And there's no support at all from the home. Who knew that? Who knew that? So that's what it means, l'ficho golam. The Rambam is saying, we know averos that are more strict. But we don't always know the context. We don't know the circumstances. What's the community like? What are the influences? What are the motivations? So when the Mishnah says, have a zoyer b'mitzvah kala kevachamura, what it's saying is for certain people in certain times, in certain generations, in certain communities, that mitzvah kala may be so important, may be so critical, that it's important to be zahir. Meaning, for a person to think, what does it mean to come to shul anyway? For you coming to shul, is like keeping Shabbos. For you coming to daven with the minyan, that's like keeping kosher. Heve zayir, it's not a small thing for you to come to shul. It means a lot. Lefi golam. And that's what the Mishnah is teaching us. We never know. For ourselves, we may say this is a mitzvah kala. It's not such a mitzvah kala. We think it's a mitzvah kala. In this generation, this may be the most important mitzvah to do. And 100 years ago, this schar was not the same for that mitzvah. So that's the zehirus that we should have as well. But this question is really raised by the Rambam and the Rabbeinu Yonah themselves in Pirush HaMishnayos. If you take a look at source number 5. So source number 5 on the second page, Rabbeinu Yonah. So look what he says. He says, "V'hebe zoyer b'mitzvah kala k'mitzvah chamura she'en ata yodeh matam scharen shel mitzvos. Af al pishin is parish eileinu ha'onshin m'naveo she'en mehen mekares v'yesh misa v'dei shamayim." And we know all the different levels. What is this like? So you skip to the fifth line. It's bolded. L'masha l'maha davadome. To what can this be compared? L'melech shemasra la'avodav pardes l'ntobo ilanos. You have a king. And the king entrusts his orchard with his servants, and they're going to plant trees. What do you need in the orchard? We need all different kinds of trees. We need apple trees, we need orange trees, we need lemon trees, we need all types of trees. If you said to them, listen, you know, apples here are very, very expensive. You know how it is, right? That the pear is not so expensive. What are we going to do? Then we'll plant an apple tree. But we need all different types of trees. Does that? It's lacking. Where's the variety? Same thing. Kach ilu haya HaKadosh Baruch Hu modia matan schar shel mitzvos. If Hashem would tell us the matan schar, hayu osin hachamure shescharon meruba umanichen akalos shescharon muat velo yiye adam shalem b'mitzvos. There is a concept of shlemus, of perfection, of being a complete human being. A complete Jew. A complete Jew means that I try to perform the mitzvos that come to me. That I have to live in the world. There are certain mitzvos that I can perform, and in order to have the full, all of Klal Yisrael performing mitzvos, so that the entire Torah is observed. So you have certain Kohanim have certain mitzvos, and people who have parents alive, Baruch Hashem, so they have that mitzvah. And other people who are capable of learning on a certain level, they learn on a certain level, and other people, tefillah, if we realized the matan schar of a mitzvah, or an avera for that matter, so we would be a little bit more cautious in one area, and less in another area, and therefore we need all of the mitzvahs to be performed. That's what he says. And that's why, if so, a person, lo ye adam shalem in mitzvos, you shouldn't cool off. We want you to perform all of them. Fine. And the Rambam, similarly, but a little bit of a different angle. If you look where it's bolded, the Rambam says, true, when it comes to Averos, no doubt, we have different levels, Kalos and Chamlos. But Avol Mitzvos Aseh, Lo Nisboyers Schar Kol Achas Mehen Mawe Tzel Hashem. So true, as we said earlier. So it could be that the schar we speak of is the punishment. So you have to be zohir b'mitzvah kalak v'chamura she'en atayodea matan schar shel mitzvos, because you don't really know necessarily, right? We speak about the level of punishment. No, here may be speaking about the fact that I really don't know. Averos, yes. But mitzvos, no. So he says, so a mitzvah says, lo nisbar schar kol achas behen mahu etzel Hashem. I don't know what it's worth, what its value is in the eyes of Hashem. Ad sheneda ma mehen yoser choshuv mehen lamata mizeh. Which one is more significant than the other? Eletziva lasos ma'ase ploni uploni. Velo yivadas schar eza mishneim yoser gadol etzel Hashem. You're not going to know? Ulefikach ra'ui lehishtadil v'kulon. That's what we have to try all of them. In fact, that's the basis of two principles that we have in halacha. Why? One mitzvah may be kal, one mitzvah may be chamur. I'm busy with one mitzvah, maybe I should stop that to do a more significant mitzvah. No, because you have to be mishtadel to do all of them. Right? Doesn't make a difference. And also, ein ma'avir en ala mitzvah. If you don't pass by and busy with one mitzvah, don't pass over one mitzvah to do another mitzvah. There's a little bit of a difference between those two principles. Ritzon olomar, im hizdame locha maisa mitzvah. I didn't start the mitzvah yet, but there is a mitzvah ready for me to perform. Do that. Al ta'avor mimenu. Don't pass by that. V'tanichenu kadei lasos mitzvah achars. To another one that you think is more significant. Because then everyone's going to do that. And the other mitzvah is going to lie dormant, and no one's going to perform that mitzvah. That mitzvah also is of value. Very important. Okay. So that may be the understanding of matan schar shel mitzvos. Matan schar shel mitzvos may mean a lefi godlam. Do a mitzvah kala, be cautious with a lighter mitzvah as much as you would for a chamura. Why? Because you don't know lefi she'ena toydeh matan scharon, which means you don't know lefi godlam. You don't really know their inherent value. Because there's so much that plays into their inherent value. The community, the generation, the context, the motivation. And then, possibility number two, she'ena tadera matan schar and shal mitzvos, you don't really know what the schar is, because the schar for performing a mitzvah that lies dormant may be actually be greater, of greater value, because people are ignoring it, people are stepping on it. So that's another idea that's born out from the Rambam and Rabbeinu. Yeah.
This whole point system thing is making me very uncomfortable. We just don't know the way Hashem judges everything.
That's what the Rambam said.
I don't know why a 7-year-old kid dies of cancer, but a 94-year-old creep is still living his life. I don't get that. It's not up to me to get it.
Right.
So you just have to do your best to do everything the right way.
Right. So but
to try to figure out the point system, oh, my schar is going to be better if I'm bigger, if I do it this way or that way.
So you may not need this fish. But many people, many people, we're very focused on quantity. We're very focused on doing. I mean, take a simple example of just davening. We're very focused on turning pages and saying words. When it's not true that the fourth or fifth halacha in Shulchan Aruch is tov ma'at tachanunim bekavana, rather than more without kavana. Now, why? Even if you start Shulchan Aruch, you can't pass that. That applies to most of davening is that way. But there's a sense of I have to finish, I have to close, I have to make a siyum. I think it's true in Talmud Torah as well that we make a siyum. Someone makes a siyum for the bar mitzvah. So you ask one simple mishnah. I don't remember that. So I think the concept of the siyum is very nice and it's a motivator, no doubt. But my students know I'm not a siyum guy. Not a siyum. I'm never finish shas. I don't feel like I finish shas unless I know shas. I just don't. It's not a feeling of accomplishment for me if I can't teach it right now to everybody. If I don't know it, so that doesn't mean that we should not make siyum. And if that motivates someone to be Messiah more and to continue, that's wonderful. But I think we shortchange ourselves, and I think we're really not giving ourselves the quality of tefillah, of Talmud Torah, and Shmiras HaMitzvos in general. I'm doing it to be Yotzeh. So that's the derech spoke about last time. If there's a derech, if there's a goal in mind, if there's a relationship in mind, it's not about finishing. It's not about that. We're learning, after these three series, we will have learned 1.5 mishnayos in Perkei Avos. But maybe we walked out with something, with something greater than just the number. Yeah. Absolutely. I think that's based on what we discussed last week, which is that, or the first week, when we speak about Dayanim, that the theme of Pirkei Avos seems to be speaking to, at least in the first parak, that the audience are Dayanim. And then we saw a Mishnah that ended, we're judging people all the time. That's true. If Hashem is judging, we are judging, and if we are judging, if that's the way I treat someone else, I have to approach the mitzvos in a similar way. No doubt. Okay. So, one other issue with this Mishnah. So go back to the first page, and you see the Mishnah says, have a mechashev on the second line after this. Once I'm speaking about schar of a mitzvah, they have a mechashev hefseid mitzvah keneged schara. We have to calculate the loss of a mitzvah keneged schara, keneged corresponding to the profit or gain that I may earn through other means if I would not perform the mitzvah. Uschar aveira keneged hefseida. And the schar, the profit, the gain of doing a sin, the pleasure that I will receive, keneged hefseidah, corresponding to that which I lose. Now, if you think about what this really means is, we spoke about chishvonot rabim last week from the pasuk in Koheles. Vehema vikshu chishvonot rabim, right? Hashem makes a person yashar, and everybody's looking for a way out. Everybody has their chishvonos. So to make a cheshbon means you're making a calculation. So Rav Lichtenstein asked a simple question. He said, do we really have to calculate? You're talking about, let's think about it. I have a mitzvah in front of me, and I have something for myself, my own profession, my own career, for my future. So I want to calculate now, let's see, eternal bliss with earthly pleasure. So I'm sitting here as an Orthodox Jew. I'm making a cheshbon. To make a cheshbon. See, should I do There is the mitzvah. I'm supposed to sinu stuk. I'm supposed to daven, go to shul right now. I'm supposed to daven with the minyan right now. But let me. So now, it could be that the yetzer hara has the ability to take control. That may be. But that I'm sitting there making a cheshbon. What kind of cheshbon am I making? I have to make a cheshbon. Does that even make sense? So he suggested the following. That, and it's a little bit more difficult to read into the Aveira, which I don't want to spend time doing, that there is a way to read it. But he understood as follows. That every mitzvah can have its own hefsed. Not the law. When I do a mitzvah, it's not the loss of the money I would have made had I not daven mincha with the minyan. It's the hefsed where I do the mitzvah itself and I did it for the wrong reason. If I do a mitzvah, but I have the wrong attitude, that's a cheshbon that I have to make. When I'm about to give tzedakah, am I going to have the right attitude when I give that tzedakah? When I'm about, go ahead.
Doesn't that plain spell fact do mitzvah need kavana in the first
Okay,
place?
So kavana that may be right. That may be, but it also may be. Let's say a person is giving tzedakah, and I'm doing it for the honor. So that's not about kavana.
No.
Right? That's about, is it about me or is it about the Ribono Shel Olam? Very often, there are mitzvahs that are presented to us and we have the proper motivation and attitude towards that mitzvah, and then sometimes there's a hefsed. There's a little bit of a loss that's incurred because we, unfortunately, we do it for the wrong reason. Right? He actually quoted, it's worthwhile, I mean, there are many of these quotes, but I'll throw this one in anyway. He said, like, and he quoted Baal Peh, of course, like T.S. Eliot's play, Murder in the Cathedral, which started in 1935. So here's the quote. The last temptation is the greatest treason, to do the right thing for the wrong reason. So very often we do the right thing, but we don't have the right thing. So that's the calculation. When I'm about to do a mitzvah, do I have the proper reason behind it? Do I have the proper attitude and motivation? Not only kavana, or there is the possibility that there are ulterior motives involved. And that's the hefsed that a mitzvah may have. And for that, the Mishnah says, you have to be mechashev. Make sure you make that proper, you make the proper calculation. Okay, now we move on to the part two. Have to move a little bit faster. And what's fascinating about this is the next line is comparing Rebbe to Akavya ben Mahalalel. Look at Rebbe, it's in source one, it's bolded. The histakel b'shlosha devarim, the iyat atabo lidei aveira. Look at three things, gaze in three things, and you will not come to sin. What are those three things? So in fact, it's not really three things. Watch what it says. Da malam alam imcha. So that's not one. That's broken into two. Ein roa, there's an eye that's watching you. The ozen shomas, there's the ear that's listening to you. Obviously, as it were, akaviyachal, right? Hashem is not human. V'chol ma'asecha ba'sefer nechtavim. Those are the three. So look at those three things. Look at the ayin that's looking at you. Look at or contemplate the ear that's listening to what you're saying. And everything is being recorded. Those are the three things, and you'll never do another. Now, okay. It's understandable. If you look at the beginning of the third perek in source number two, this is Perek Gimel Mishnah Aleph. Look what Akavya says. And Akavya had his own story. His own he was put into cherem at the end of his life. Very sad end to his life. But look what he says. Akavya mahalom histakel bishlosha devarim viatav l'dei avera. Same thing. What does he tell me I should look at? Da me ayin basa, know from where you've come. Ulana taholech, where you're going. Ulamia ta asid li tein din de cheshbon. And in front of whom you're going to give your final judgment. The Gra understands that din de cheshbon are different. Din is the narrow judgment. Cheshbon is the bigger picture, looking at a person, surveying a person in his entirety. So din de cheshbon are a little bit different. Now that last one is very similar to B'chol Ma'asecha B'Sefer Nechtav, correct? And there are three on this list as well. And this is what I should be thinking about. and I won't come with the Avera. Rebbe speaks of, let's say, three aspects of an organic whole, because it's all about knowing, right? Ayin ro, oz, and shamas are not different things. You're being watched. You're being watched. And according to Akavya, a little bit different. There are almost like distinct stages that I'm looking at. I'm number one looking at my ayin basa, that's the past. Olanat ha'olech, that's the future. And then, even there's almost the immediate future, and then there's the distant future. So what I found also significant about Akavya, which I think is critical in understanding the difference between Akavya and Rebbe, is the fact that Akavya doesn't give you the answers yet. If you read Akavya, so I would learn him like this. Dame ayin basa. I'll tell you. I've come from a heritage and a great lineage of rabbis and great people and learned people, and to realize where you come from. You have a certain responsibility. Ulanat ha'olech. What are the expectations that your family has for you based on that past? And through that, recognize that Hashem is going to, there's going to be din v'cheshbon to ensure that you reached your potential. But that's not what he says. It's almost as if he wants to, there's a scare tactic here. That's not what I meant. I want to tell you what I meant. He right, there's a delay. There's not like Rebbe, there's a delay. What's the delay? Now watch what he says. May I bust, you know where you came from? Not what you thought. Mitipa srucha. From a filthy drop of semen. Ulana taholech, where are you going? Lumakom afarima vatoleh, to a place of maggots and worms in the ground. Ulamiyata asilidin divicheshbon. So that goes without saying, but maybe the full name, Lufne Melech Malchei Hamlachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, recognizing that he's the King of Kings and the Holy One, blessed be he. So that also is a scare tactic. So now I'm frightened. So you look at Rebbe and you look at Akavya, the goal is the same. The means to that goal is different. What's going to work? Very different. There's Akavya has this cumulative impact. You build one on the other. There's an impending threat that Rebbe doesn't have. The fact that someone's watching and recording, so there's a certain anxiety, no doubt, but you don't have the threatening tone, the imagery of death, the imagery of even of the beginning of life. A person is defenseless. There's no concept that Rebbe makes no mention of Rima and Tolea. He's not speaking about death. In Akavya's mind, he denigrates humanity and human character. What are we anyway? We're only Afar. That's where we're going. That's where we come from. And more than that, Akavya is, when we think about his approach versus Rebbe's approach, so not only do we speak about something that's threatening, but it could very well be that for certain people and in certain generations, it's counterproductive. The language that's used here is the word lehistakel. What does lehistakel mean? It means not only to gaze, right? It doesn't mean lahabit means to look. Lehistakel means to gaze, means to contemplate. So if you look at the Rambam, the very famous Rambam Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, skip to source 10, the Rambam speaks about how we can come arrive at love of the Ribono Shel Olam and Yira and Or as well. Look at source 10. Vehechi aderech la'avaso v'shor sheyizbonein ha'adam ha'masa. Yizbonein means lehistakel. It means to contemplate. And I think about ma'asav bru'i u'bru'av ha'niflaim, the wondrous things that Hashem has created. The Remehen Chochmos Vayisiyus, wisdom, Shelo Erech, locates this, cannot be assessed. There's no end. Miyadu Ohev, Mishabeach, Mufa'er, there's love, and he praises, he glorifies Mitaveh, there's a desire, Tava, Gedola Leida, Hashem Agadol, Kemo, Shamar David, and he quotes And then, in the middle of the line, when I contemplate these things, I calculate literally these ideas. Miyadhu nir tala acharav. So now all of a sudden you move back. You take a step back. V'yifchad, and there'll be a fear. V'yodeshu beria ketana shvela, you realize that we're nothing. Afela omedes bidas kala me'uta lefnei tamim deos. I realize how small I really am. I realize my place. But how did I get there? How did I recognize my place, which no doubt will ensure that a person doesn't come lidei aveira? How is that done? That's done through avas Hashem. That's looking at the bria, that's looking at nature, that's recognizing the greatness, the glory of the majesty of Hashem. So we really have what may be three approaches. How do I recognize Hashem to the extent that I'm going to perform His mitzvos and not violate any averos? I have Akavya, who's denigrating, who makes me feel I should feel guilty and shameful. There's a scare tactic, there's a threatening tone. There's Rebbe, who creates a certain anxiety. But maybe healthy anxiety. I say that about my class. You come into my class, I always use that term. There has to be, and I tell Rebbeim in general, you have to create a healthy anxiety in the classroom. It means that some of the students walk in, they're not completely relaxed. They recognize if I don't pay attention, I'm going to fail. And you come in with a different attitude. That's healthy. Come into shul. I think it should be healthy anxiety when we walk into shul. Walk into shul, come with my coffee cup, I have my siddur, my chumash, I have a weekly brief and some other things to read. Sit down, relax, have a conversation. We can't be too comfortable in shul. Shul's not our living room. Sure, I don't have to be fearful. You don't have to walk in like some of the churches are built in the street. You walk in and it's frightening. No, the shul has to be friendly. But there should be healthy anxiety. That's Rebbe. And then you have the Rambam. The Rambam says, look at the beauty. Look at the majesty. That's another approach. So what's optimal? So is it denigrating human character? Threatening? Profoundly pessimistic, which is Akavya's point. Yeah, that's certainly a means that can be employed to attain the necessary, the requisite goal of fear so a person doesn't do an Avera. Realizing that inevitably we're going to descend into the pit and we're going to be eaten up, we're going to turn into Rima Vitolea. That may be helpful. Is it the Rambam, the other extreme, his climate, his context? We speak about radically different. We speak about majesty. It's nothing about revulsion, nothing about that a person should be insignificant. No, it's greatness, it's understanding the Bria, being overwhelmed. Maybe there's a sense on my part, a sense of weakness, that I'm small, fallibility that's possible. That's maybe all true, realizing there's the Ein Sof, we speak out about Rosh Baruch Hu in such a way, from a Kabbalistic perspective, shiflut, the fact that there's a lowliness, that's also humility, but coming from that positive sense of there's the beauty of Hashem. There's a certain sense of pride that I should have. Hashem maybe cares about me. Or maybe somewhere in the middle, which is Rebbe. And it could very well be that it depends. It depends on the person. It depends on the generation. How do we approach? Do we need a scare tactic? Is that going to be helpful? For many people, it is. We need to threaten. We have this when we, with our own children. We know certain children, they do very well with positive reinforcement, and we show them the beauty of a Torah lifestyle, and that's going to work for them. And other times, there has to be a certain anxiety. There's cause and effect. There's reward and punishment. There are consequences. There's accountability. And that's important for you to realize. This is not a choice. I think one of the things that I certainly have noticed, not only from children, I think even from adults in this generation, more than ever, is that choosing to be an Oved Hashem and embrace religious Orthodox Judaism and all that entails is a choice. It's as if we have a choice. If it works for me, it's great. And if it doesn't work for me, that's also okay. And we, as Rabbanim, as teachers, as parents, it's almost like we're supposed to feed into that. That's a yes, of course, if it works for you, it doesn't work for everybody. This is for some people, you know, getting up to go to shul and davening. It doesn't work. And so it's difficult at certain points maybe in our lives. We have to accept that. And that was someone's decision at some point along the way. But we recognize that there's a healthy anxiety, that there are consequences, and that has to be kept in mind. So there are different prescriptions. There's Remi, there's the Rambam, there's Akavya ben Mahalalel, and it may depend on the person, it may be generation dependent, maybe community dependent. And we have to be able to speak at Rav Lichtenstein, as we mentioned the first week, you have to look at your audience. And we could be speaking, Akavya could be speaking to his generation, and Rebbe speaking to his generation, and the Rambam speaking to his generation. And that's okay. And we have different approaches as to what a person needs to do to avoid doing averos. And we have not necessarily an optimal route, but many possibilities. And finally, just spend a couple of minutes on Torah with Derech Eretz. There's a famous machlokas that's recorded on Daf Lamed Hey Amud Beis in Maseches Brachos. I'll tell it to you outside. It's on the last page. I just want to look at source number 11 for a moment. Here, the Gemara has a machlokas between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai claims that when the pasuk says "Va'asachta digonecha," as opposed to Rabbi Yishmael, who says that's a mitzvah. That's a person has an obligation to go out to work and to reap whatever the harvest is at the times, certain months, that it's important. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, no, but asafta digonecha should be done by other people, the nations of the world. If we're doing Ratzon Hashem, we can be spending all day learning, and they'll take care of it. If you're not doing Ratzon Hashem, so now you're going to be punished. Asafta digonecha is a punishment. That's a consequence of not doing the Ratzon Hashem. Okay, and the Gemara concludes, if you look at Abaye's comment in bold, Amar Abaye, Harbe Asu Karabi Shmuel Va'olsa B'yadon, many did like Rabbi Shmuel and it was effective, Karabi Shimon Ben Yochai V'lo Olsa B'yadon. And this could be understood in many ways. Rechaim V'loshen and others claim that the Gemara, what Abaye is saying is like this, Harbe Asu Karabi Shmuel Va'olsa B'yadon. If the majority, if many people, if most of the people follow Rabbi Shmuel, that will be effective. But if most people will follow Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, also, that's not going to work. There may be a few individuals, a few yechidim, who can follow Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and perhaps it's the community's responsibility to ensure there are a few people who follow Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and there are going to be people who are dedicating, committing themselves to full-time Talmud Torah. But in general, people have to fulfill. That's the effective way. So therefore, we certainly value malacha. And if you look at the Mishnah, it's Mishnah Beis back to page 1, so that's what Mishnah says, Rabbi Gamliel. And this is Rabbi Gamliel, important to point out, the son of Yehuda Hanasi, these were princes. These were people who didn't necessarily have to go out to work. And if they're telling us, Yafet Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz, Sheyegiyas Shnehem Mishakachas Avon, through work, we can't be learning all the time. If we're not working, if we're not learning, so then and we're wasting our time, so then we get ourselves into trouble. We want to forget, literally, to do any averus. We have to be busy. Busy means we're learning. Busy means we're working. V'chol Torah she'ein ima malacha sofa b'teila v'gareres avon. If there's Torah without malacha, without work, without a work ethic, so then Torah is going to be lost. How often do people come? They haven't prepared themselves for their life. And they haven't found a way to make a parnasa, and they're in a culture that doesn't allow, that doesn't permit them to do so. And now how much time do they have to learn? They don't have any time to learn because they're collecting, because they don't have time, because they haven't established themselves. So we have to value malacha. But malacha is more than just If malacha is more than just valuing malacha, because with that derech eretz, I'll be able now to support, to bolster my Torah study for the future. It's more than that. And it's more than it won't lead a person to boredom or lead a person to sin. But there's more than that. If you look at the last source, Source 12, Vayikach Hashem Elokim es ha'adam vayanichehu began Eden lo'avda u'lashomra. So I always like to quote this Targum Yonasan. We have it as Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel. But look what he says. What does it mean that Adam was placed in Gan Eden la'avda to work it, u'lashomra, and to guard it? So watch what he says. V'dabar Hashem Elokim in Source 13, Yas Adam, it's in Aramaic, Mintur Pulchana, Asar Dizbraya, after he was created, Mitaman, Va'ashra, and he placed him, Beginusa de Eden, in the Garden of Eden, Limele Palach Ba'oraisa, to serve the Torah, Ulimintah Pikudah, and to observe the mitzvahs. So that's a beautiful interpretation of the word La'avda, because we know no doubt the word La'avod means, Avodah means to serve God, and no doubt that the word shomer means to observe mitzvos. But the simple understanding is la'avdo l'shomer means man was created to work. Not to work merely because it avoids boredom. Not merely because it helps a person avoid sin. Not because certain people can't be learning all day. But and not because it avoids a debilitating psychological state of a human being, which we know can have. People who are elderly or retired and independently wealthy need to find work. They need to be busy. Many people cannot live without being busy. It's not only a spiritual, it's a psychological pill to work. But it's all more than that. La'avdo l'shama means that man is placed on earth as part of God's master plan. He helps build the world. It's inherently beneficial. It's part of the person, human personality. It's not only to avoid madness. There's a broader, all-encompassing, humanistic objective of a work ethic that man is supposed to have. Vayanicheinu began Eden la'avda u'lashomra. So Torah in Derech Eretz accomplishes many things. Number one, apparently, most people cannot tolerate full-time Talmud Torah. Lo also biyad. The harbei have to work. But work is more than just, well, I can't learn all day, therefore I must work. It's more than just psychologically, I have to be busy. Work means that there's part of society. We have to contribute. We are members of, Am Yisrael are members of a broader community, and la'avdo l'shomra means that we have to observe, to guard. We speak about guarding. What does it mean to guard? We have to guard the world to ensure that people are safe. We have to guard the environment. We have to guard to ensure that that people are living a moral and ethical life. That's part of l'shomra. And la'avda is the proper work ethic that we have in our own professional lives and how we contribute to the broader community. So these are the three thoughts from tonight. Number one is understanding kalos versus chamuros, what that means and why the schar is significant. Number two, what do we need to know? What are the three things we need to know? How do we avoid sin? It may depend. Akavya has his approach. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi has his approach. The Rambam has his approach. And perhaps we have to figure out for ourselves what's going to be effective for us. To say that we're not going to find a derech, so that's not acceptable. But to find the proper derech that's going to be effective for us, Pirkei Avos gives us that liberty. It gives us that choice. That there are options. There are choices we can make, and we have to find that which works for us. The Mishnah speaks about, they're not going to do it together. Mishnah says, you have to greet everyone. Two opinions. One Mishnah says b'sefer panim yafos, and one says b'simcha. Simcha is greater. Simcha is a greater sense. But at least sefer panim yafos. Maybe it won't work. Maybe I can't do that at all. Maybe I can't do that for everyone. But everyone deserves a Sefer Panim, folks. So Pirkei Avos is really chock full of ethics, of morality, of behavior, of proper conduct, and options and choices to find that which works for us so that we can live an ethical life, contribute to society. We'll stop here. Have a good night, everyone.